once again on the hillside with Jesus as we look in Matthew chapter number 5. Over in Israel, you can pinpoint the time of the year based on the Passovers and everything of when a lot of these events had taken place during Christ's 3.5 years of ministering. And as you look at this hillside, as you're over here in this area, you'll find an area that is lush. You'll find an area that has a very good breeze coming off of the Sea of Galilee. And it's a nice, calm place to be. Even today, the hillside that they say is most likely where Christ gave that sermon, it is still a peaceful, solemn place today. It's amazing. Well, here we are once again on the Mount with the Lord. In a land full of people with diverse views regarding the issues of morality, life, and eternity, we this week have seen the very essence of evil in an attempt to silence a voice of one who talked about those things which were biblical as well as a factual approach to morality, life, and eternity. As we gather once again on this mountain with Jesus to hear His teachings that He gives to the multitudes, to hear His blessings to those who are standing in need of blessings for certain things, this one comes today. It's the second of the last of these Beatitudes. This morning we'll be looking at a message entitled, Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. In Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Dear God, I thank You for this day. Lord, I do thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for every soul that is present here today, Lord, to partake in that which You have for their heart today. Lord, I pray that our minds and our hearts will be challenged, but most importantly, Lord, our hearts and our minds will be open to that which You have for us. Lord, help us to receive the words of wisdom from Your Holy Spirit today. Guide us along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When we look at peacemakers, there's certain aspects we need to look at. And so today I have three different questions that I'd like to propose to you and branch off of those questions with different approaches regarding a peacemaker. So the first thing I have to ask you is this: what constitutes a peacemaker? What is it that makes one a peacemaker? Well, you've got to look it up, you know, in the definition. And so the United Nations is a peacemaking organization, right? That's what they say. Blessed are the peacemakers. So what constitutes a peacemaker? Well, a peacemaker is one who strives regarding three different areas. It is one who strives to prevent contention. A peacemaker does not like strife. Number two, and then also, they are ones that will strive to prevent war. Having brothers or sisters, I had a ton of sisters, and let me tell you, there was a lot of contention, strife, and war over who's getting in the bathroom first when I was growing up. We all had one bathroom to share. That's a lot when you have a house with, I had at least 8 sisters in there at one time. So imagine the bloodshed being spilled, trying to get into the bathroom before the rest of them do. Fortunately, being a male, you know, us males as children, we're not so concerned about hygiene. And so it didn't bother me as much. I was, whatever, it's okay. I can brush my teeth next week. Yeah, whatever. I'm paying for it today. Yeah. Yeah. We ought to be a peacemaker. Peacemakers, they strive to make sure that there's no contention, or at least to dilute the amount of contention that can be present. We find as well there are ones that do not like strife. Are you one of those who likes an angry, hostile type of situation? Do you feed on that? Oh, I know that there's going to be a huge march in D.C. And I'm against that. So I'm going to go there that day with my big old, you know, loud horn and just yell out against him the whole time. You think that's a good step to take? Not if you're a peacemaker. Not if you're a peacemaker. A peacemaker is one who will remember this: a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. This person is one who uses their influence to reconcile opposing parties. And one person may be over here saying, well, no, it has to be done this way, and this is the only way that it can be done. While the other person says over here, well, that's not the way that it can be done. It can be done this way as well, and it's all, and we can do it this way. And so you've got two different views of which way it can be done. Well, here's the guy in the middle saying, okay, how can we make this work? It's like a church that changes carpet color. You know, that can definitely grievous words stir up strife. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. You know, but you find that kind of stuff will split churches. It's crazy. But it does happen. You know, what color will the pews be? What color are we painting the walls? What kind of music are we going to have in the church? There's a lot of churches splitting today because of the music in the church. What kind of translation are we going to use? A lot of churches are splitting because of translations. How are we going to do these things? You know, the example I gave time and time again revolves those who call themselves Christian. And yet a lot of times we find Christians not partaking as a peacemaker, but as one who stirs up strife. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Peacemaker is not only defined as one with kind words, but it's one whose words are put into action. There is a danger, though, that some may think comes with being a peacemaker. Well, being a peacemaker means that I'm a pacifist. Everything and anything goes. No, that's not a peacemaker. Making peace with those they have or to those who they have wronged is definitely an aspect of which a peacemaker needs to be involved. Someone's done you wrong, forgive them. Someone's cut you off on the highway, I guess they had to get there before you. I mean, there's a lot of things in life to where we can get so angry, so bent out of shape, full of strife, and if we're not careful, we're going to do exactly what the Bible tells us not to do. We're going to let the sun go down upon our wrath. Because if we do so, then we are giving a foothold, we're giving a place for the devil to work in our lives. Don't do that. Be a peacemaker. This danger, though, as well, with being a peacemaker, you know, sometimes it can include friends. It can include neighbors, co-workers, and even church members. It can include a plethora of people. However, we ought to seek to live peaceably, as Jesus says, amongst all men. Wow. That's hard to live peaceably amongst all men when we've got all sorts of different things going on out there today, right? Does that mean that we need to accept this person's view, this person's platform of immorality, you know, that goes against what God's word says? Do we need to accept that? And say, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and all right, we'll be tolerant of that. All right, you over here, yeah, you believe that, but that's against God's word. But you know what? I'll be tolerable to that too. Is that what a peacemaker does? A peacemaker is willing to take a stand even when it is hard to take that stand. One who is willing to declare the truth, but not one who declares it with hostility or hate. However, one who declares it because they care, because they love, because they want to see the peace of God upon the face of this earth. A lot of things here we can learn about what is it that makes one a peacemaker. Living the life of I'm sorry is not one of a peacemaker. Some say, well, I say, I'm sorry all the time. I used to have a boss who would say, please stop saying I'm sorry and start doing something about what you're sorry for. So many times we say, I'm sorry, and we use that as a cop-out of, you know, well, I'm just making peace, so I'll say I'm sorry. Well, you know, all right, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't make the gravy just right today. I'm sorry. Yeah, I had verses 1 and 2, the same verse, but it's okay. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of things in life to where we will just say, I'm sorry, as a means of saying, let's keep the peace. So I'll just say, I'm sorry. A lot of times that is the right thing to do, isn't it? Sure, it is the right thing to do. But sometimes it's better for us to learn for that which we have said, I'm sorry. That argument you had with your spouse on the way to church. Maybe the neighbor behind you just keeps throwing stuff across the fence into your... You need to Not just say, I'm sorry, but you need to do something about it. And that doesn't mean pick it up and throw it back in their yard. Even though, yeah, if I said it, that means you've been tempted to do it. All right. No, we ought to be peacemakers. So what is it that makes one a peacemaker? Well, second of all, who is a peacemaker? You look at the Bible, there's many examples of men as well as women who lived lives, yes, where they had their faults, yes, where they did stumble from time to time. But the greatest example we find in our Bible is Jesus regarding that of peace. Jesus says this in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As a child of God, we ought to possess within us a peace which passeth all understanding. The world cannot understand how it is that we are peaceful. The world cannot understand why we don't raise our fists against them and grab our guns and march to war. Moses once told Phinehas, as prescribed by God, he says this, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. God gives us, those of us who knew Christ, who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, He has given us as well a covenant of peace. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are not subjected to being a child of wrath. You are not going to be subjected to the wrath of God. The wrath of God, we find if you read in Revelation as well as you read in other areas of Scripture, you'll find that the wrath of God is never reserved for His own children. The wrath of God is for those who have made an enemy of the Lord. And so if you're a child of God, you will likewise, you already have within you the covenant of peace. You know this, that God's never going to pour out His wrath upon you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, I don't know what you're saying, Pastor. I've had bad things happen to me this week. I've had bad things happen to me in my past. I know I'm going to have something bad happen to me probably even the week ahead. And you're telling me that that's not the wrath of God? There's a lot of things that we have come into our lives where we can say or we can try to, you know, make it look like, oh, that's the wrath of God upon us. But if you're a child of God, it's not His wrath, it's His chastening love if you've stepped out of the will of the Father. It's His chastening love that wants to bring you back to where you need to be. It's His chastening love that wants to bring you back into the fold. It's His chastening love that wants you to walk with Him and not with this world. It's His chastening love that will bring peace to your life. Well, I haven't done anything wrong, so why are these things happening to me? You ever heard of this one word? It's called sin. It's called sin. Just because you might not be doing it today doesn't mean that you never sinned before in your life. You've definitely done some things that were in obstinance to God. You've rebelled against the Lord at one time, at least one time in your life, you've rebelled against the Lord. Man, I can't even tell you how many times I've rebelled against the Lord. It's called sin. And the Lord says that... In a way, He says that famous proverb that many people say, what you reap, you will sow, you know. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, there you go. I'm giving you the King James for it. Jesus wants peace in your life. And as a child of God, He gives you that covenant of peace. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might go out there and be the best peacemaker this world has ever seen. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't have that covenant of peace. Many believe that being a peacemaker is a thing of the past. However, it is necessary for us even today to be a peacemaker. I saw that the posts there of, you know, back with the George Floyd riots versus, you know, what's happening today, you know, as, you know, the immediate, like, 48-hour result of a tragic event in our country. You see all the riots and the burning and the fires and all that nonsensical stuff going on this side. But then with what happened with Charlie Kirk this week, you know, you see, what do you see? You see campuses, college campuses coming together, hugging and praying and taking time of silence. You see a nation that is setting aside its political differences for a moment to be able to embrace and say that truly was a horrible event that happened in our country. There's a big difference between a peacemaker and a war maker, right? A huge difference between the two. It's not a... Oh, peacemaker. Who's a peacemaker? It's not about fighting to gain the upper hand. Peacemakers are not ones that fight to get their way. Well, I'm going to fight like crazy until I get my own way. But I'm going to be a peacemaker the whole way. That doesn't sound right, does it? You know, being a peacemaker is not one that manipulates the situation in order to make themselves look better. A peacemaker is even willing to take all the blame if it is necessary so that others may survive. It's not about stirring conflict within others just for the sake of making yourself look better to them too. There are people out there that are just like this. And occasionally you'll find them as well darkening the doors of churches. But I will say this, peacemakers do abound today. They are still out there. And I dare say that there may be many peacemakers right here within this room. How is it that we know? Because you still pay attention to that still small voice. A silent voice in the midst of a storm. You can still hear. You can still follow the direction of the Lord. And even you yourself putting that example into practice are the silent voice of reason along the way. I think of Jesus when I say He is the greatest example. When He was beaten, when He was bruised, when He was nailed and butchered to a cross, did He at once ever rail upon those? He never once did. When they punched Him in the face when He was blindfolded, they'd punch Him in the face and say, "Who is it that hit you this time, Lord?" Jesus knew who it was, but He chose not to accuse them. They'd spit upon Him as well. Jesus knew who it was, but He did not say, "How dare you spit upon the very face of the Son of God?" So many people today spit on the very face of the Son of God. So many people rail against the Son of God. So many people curse the Son of God. And yet God still became flesh and died on the cross. And yet He still bore upon Himself the sin of the whole world, so that even those who rail on Him, who spit, buffet, and curse His name, He did all of that so even they could come to know Him as Lord and Savior. I think of this centurion there at the cross of Jesus when He gave up the ghost. We find that soldier saying, "Surely this was the Son of God." The world may define a peacemaker as one who is worthy to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, that person is definitely worthy. Names such as Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Martin Luther King Jr., and even Mother Teresa are those that have received such a high honor. But I want to ask you this. Are they also recipients of God's reward? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You look up the list of those who have received the Nobel Peace Prize and you'll find many different names on there, most of which you'll never know. I don't know who that one is. I had to pick out names of people that, you know, we all can relate with. Oh, yep, I've heard that one. I studied that one in history class. But you might not know exactly to what they are credited regarding being a peacemaker. Actions for which many in this world will take notice, according to this world, is that which constitutes the person who is a peacemaker. But yet Jesus says that if you're a child of His, my friend, we likewise should be peacemakers. Not seeking for the noble prize of this world, but seeking instead those things which are pure, holy, and right. What is it that constitutes a peacemaker? Who is it that is a peacemaker? Don't worry, the last point is not so long. The last point I have for you today is this. When will the peacemaker be rewarded? When will a peacemaker be rewarded? Well, those within this earth, we give credit for being a peacemaker. They have their reward right now. They do. You've got this great, noble prize. You've got, all these people over here patting on the back and saying, you're the greatest peacemaker that has ever been on this earth during my lifetime. Some may have even said the same thing to you. But yet, if they do not have an indication of salvation by grace through faith, that is all the reward they will ever receive. But those who are Christ-centered, those who are born again, peacemakers, saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, my friend, the Bible says that they will likewise receive their reward. Aren't you glad that it's a reward you don't have to wait for? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. My friend, you have already built within you that innate DNA of Jesus Christ, who constitutes upon your heart the need to be a peacemaker. Are you a peacemaker today? You don't have to just be a peacemaker when you feel like it. Jesus wants us to be peacemakers every day. You carry this identifier with you. You will continue to bear this cross upon you as well. It is an identifier that will last throughout all eternity. You are a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. You may leave a legacy for which others will look upon and say, wow, that person was great. Or wow, that person sure was good. But I pray that this will pass upon the lips as well of those who speak about you. That person was a peacemaker. And how do you know that they were a peacemaker? Because they were a child of God. Are you a child of God today? You may be a child of God and saying, well, all those things that happened this week just kind of tested me to the point where I didn't even want to go to church. Such a deplorable state of society in which we live today. How is it that I could even entertain going to church? This is where you need to be, in God's house. When the wars of this world are going on outside, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, can be found right here. It can be found right here as well within your word. Be a peacemaker. As we prepare for an invitation today. Are you one of those that loves to put out grievous words? Because grievous words, we see the Bible says, stirs up strife. Let's be brutally honest tonight or today. It's important for us to just have some times where we just stop lying. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to others. By the way, you really can't lie to Him because He already knows all things. It's time right now to have an honest, you-to-God conversation. If you are not being true to being a peacemaker, ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for help. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter how peaceful you might live in this life, but if you were to leave this life without a relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how many wars you stopped, you'll still spend eternity in hell. It's time for peace in your life. It's time for peace in every single one of our lives today as we have this invitation. I pray that you will respond as we stand. Softly and tender.
know this, even in the storm, Jesus is still walking on the water. Amen. Where even Jesus is right there in the ship, He will never leave you. He has a soldier. He has a soldier of the Lord. Tell others about Jesus. Don't harbor bitterness in your life, nor resentment. You want to make a difference? Tell others about Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. Are there any other announcements before we conclude our service this morning? Brother Patrick.
Just to clarify about the person at 3 p.m. on Thursday, the church, Bethany is going to set that up. She can do some help with that. There are getting some food from the employers. And so we're not sure exactly what that is, but we can get maybe some drinks and some desserts. Or something along those lines, so we'll do that as well. And then Ray and Finley will come back here. And everyone is welcome to come and just to love on it.
And some of you haven't seen Samantha probably in a long time either. I believe she'll be here. Okay, before that, she was flying out on Thursday to go back to England. So this will be your opportunity to give her a big old hug and let her know.
The service is at 11.
Yes, the service is at 11. Visitation is at 10, right?
Yes,
10. Yeah, visitation is at 10. Okay? Any other announcements? All right, very well. Thank you all for coming today. It is my prayer that you all will leave here today with a lighter step. My prayer today that you all leave here refreshed, renewed, and revived, ready to tell someone about Jesus. Let's sing our song, Family of God, and we just
Father,